You are listening to the Real Housewives of the Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Rogers. In this sweet space, you'll hear from women who are like you and some that are not. We will talk about how God is walking with us through the good and the hard on subjects like marriage, homemaking, friendships, ministry, parenting, and seeking God. You will also hear from me sharing what God is doing in my own heart. The enemy of our souls wants us to feel alone, and that couldn't be further from the truth. So if you are like me and need that reminder, join us as we laugh and cry together, giving God the glory through the stories of our lives. Before we begin, I just wanted to say, if you're enjoying the podcast, would you leave a quick rating and review wherever you're listening? I only ask because it really helps the podcast get found by listeners who are looking for encouragement in their day, just like you. It would mean so much to me. Okay, today's guest is Deborah. She has been married for 36 years. She is sharing her heart and giving us a look at the habits that have hindered and the habits that have been helpful. If you are in ministry, I'd encourage you to listen in because she gives us some great wisdom regarding marriage and serving and how to do both well. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Real Housewives of the Kingdom. Today, we are in the second of our series of healthy marriage habits, and I have a really special guest today, a new friend of mine from our church. Welcome, Deborah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I would love for you to just tell the listeners about who you are, a little bit about you.
I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I am a professional graphic designer and illustrator and author.
How long have you been a believer?
I accepted Jesus when I was 5 because my sister told me I was going to hell if I didn't.
That'll do it, right?
But I was actually very sincere. I accepted Jesus when I was 5 with my mom. So I've been a believer most of my life. However, I haven't walked with the Lord all of my life.
And what age were you when you came back to the Lord?
I was in my late 20s. I walked away from the Lord basically when my dad left us. When I left our family, I was a senior in high school and started deciding that I wanted to explore the world and stop being a good girl and kind of walked away and really didn't deny the Lord, didn't deny that God was there, but I really didn't want him in my life. I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to party with my friends and be with boyfriends. And I just really probably for about 7 or 8 years walked away from the Lord. And even when I got married a man who had also been raised as a Christian, but wasn't walking with the Lord. So when we got married, neither of us were walking with the Lord.
It's sweet that you guys both had the background that you had been raised in.
Yeah. And it's like, I knew what his background was and I knew what my background was. And I knew that that's what I wanted for my future, but we didn't really commit to that together. We both just really knew that that's what we wanted. We didn't want to marry non-believers, which was really weird because neither of us were walking with the Lord. We were partying together and we were doing the things that we shouldn't have been doing together.
It's so interesting, our paths, because it's like God, everybody has a different path that they take. And it's so sweet to see. And even before we pressed record, we were just talking about God's goodness and how he just follows us through our whole lives. And no matter what we do, how he just pursues us. And it's so sweet to see his grace, how big and how wide his love and grace is for us and how he just calls us back to him. And that's so sweet. So tell us a little bit about your husband.
Well, I gave him the nickname Hottie about 5 years ago when I went through breast cancer.
Okay.
And he was really the husband of the year.
Now, tell them how long you've been married for.
We've been married 36 years this past March.
So 5 years ago, you had breast cancer.
Yeah, that was quite the ride. God told me before I got my diagnosis that he was going to take me through it. And that I did have breast cancer and I didn't want to tell anybody. I just told my husband. He goes, "Oh no, don't say that." And I'm like, "I'm not telling anybody else, but I'm telling you that he also told me he's going to take me through it. God told me I wasn't going to die, even though I have had one of the most aggressive forms of breast cancer." So he's my hottie.
I love it.
Husband of the year. And he definitely deserved every accolade that I could possibly give him.
Sweet.
He's a photographer. So we are two poor, starving artists that have eked out a living together. And we're in business together.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that was one thing when we met you guys at church that I thought it was so cool when you said that you guys work together, because that's such a rare thing. Me and my husband work together. We really thrive in that. And that's a really rare thing for married couples. It's a very cultural norm to say, oh, I could never work with my spouse.
I had a lot of people go, how the heck do you do that? I could never spend all day with my husband and then all evening with him. And it hasn't really been that hard for us, because probably because mm-hmm. of our personalities, we're mm-hmm. both pretty easygoing. Mm-hmm. And I don't work for him, and he doesn't work for me. We work together, we're a team.
I think that's the key for marriage, too.
Yeah.
What a good perspective to think about that for marriage.
Right. We're a team. He's like, he's not my boss. I'm not his boss. I'm not telling him what to do. He's not telling me what to do.
Yeah.
We really work well as a team. And because he's a photographer and I'm a designer, we have some clients in common, but mm-hmm. we don't work on every job together, but we work well together and we complement each other. Like mm-hmm. I couldn't do what he does and mm-hmm. he couldn't do what I do. Mm-hmm. So we come at it as a team where we're creatively inspiring each other.
That's so cool.
I don't know if that makes a difference in the way people would run a business together.
Right.
But he has his strengths and I have my strengths, and sometimes they overlap, but not mm-hmm. always.
We've experienced that as well with different things. When I was a costume designer, and he's done special effects makeup and knows how to sculpt things mm-hmm. and build things. And so we would come together, he would be building props and sets and I would be doing costumes, but then sometimes they would cross. He would need fabric or something sewn for mm-hmm. one of his projects, or I would need something sculpted or built for one of my costumes or engineered in a certain way. And then he would meet me in that, because it was definitely something I couldn't do.
Right.
And that was always such a cool benefit to working together and right. seeing each other that way.
Well, and you have to have a certain amount of respect for what the other person does, which really does translate out into mm-hmm. the marriage and our different roles in our marriage as well.
That's so sweet. I love that. And you guys do young adults ministry at church?
No, we have about 20 young adults that mm-hmm. hang out with us weekly. We started that about 8 years ago at the same time that our family was going through some real trauma. Yeah, God has just grown us in that, and having those young adults in our home actually turned out to be more of a blessing to us than to them. I mean, I'm sure it's been a blessing to them. They're like our kids. And when we were struggling with our daughter in her rebellion, God just provided something for us that we didn't even realize that we needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been through a lot with us. These same kids have gone through cancer with us and gone through my husband's heart attack and gone, mm-hmm. you know, it's like they're the same age as our kids. And since then, he's actually given us surrogate grandkids because of the kids that have grown up in our group and gotten married and had kids. And so,
such a sweet picture of the body of Christ to see how God does that, how God puts people in your life and they become a blessing mm-hmm. to you, and you get called for ministry, but then you find that God's blessing you through your serving. And that's just, I think that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And I think it's sweet when there's a bridge between the generations. And that is another thing that, another reason why for this marriage, Healthy Marriage Habits series, that I wanted to have perspective from different points of view. And I think, like when you bring, like you're talking about how refreshing it was to bring the young adults in and that God used that, I think it's cool for us to be able to relate with somebody from a different generation and to understand where they're coming from and to help them understand where we came from and then to keep that bridge. And it's sweet that you and Dennis are both doing that together, that you're experiencing that ministry together, because you work together, you're doing ministry together.
And it's only one of the ministries that we do together.
What other ministry are you doing? Tell me about it.
We also have a group of parents that we meet with called the Hope Group that we do in our house. These are parents that have kids that are in the LGBTQ community.
Okay.
That are broken and hurting. And so we have a support group for parents that are really just entrenched in the culture of kids that are wanting to transition or that are same-sex attracted, that are gender confused. And there's a lot of parents out there that are really struggling with it.
So, and searching.
Yeah. You know, back to your thing about being in ministry together, Dennis and I decided or figured out, I don't know, a long time ago, that if we were going to do ministry, our marriage came first. Mm. And it couldn't be something that took away from our marriage.
I love that.
It had to be something that we could do together. And we have areas of ministry that we do completely separately, but it needed to benefit our family. Mm. So when we started doing the young adults, it was the same age as our kids. And because we'd homeschooled, everybody goes, well, whose kids want to hang out with their parents? Our kids actually did like to hang out with us. So it wasn't like crazy. Now, my daughter, on the other hand, was like begging us not to do this. She didn't want to hang out with us with her friends at that point in her life.
I think that happens in a lot. Yeah.
But I mean, our son is still in it, and it's, you know, become his friends, and he still comes to our house every week to do this. But it had to kind of meet this criteria, because there's a lot of good things that you could do out there can hurt your marriage.
That the enemy could use to pull something good that the enemy could use to pull you away from your spouse.
Right.
And it's really hard to make those decisions. And I don't know if that's on your list of healthy habits, but that's a really good.
It is, because it's become really important to us, because we want to be able to go where God wants us to go. And when God called us in to working with the young adults, it was kind of like, do we really even have the capacity for this? Mm-hmm. And we weigh that a lot. Do we have the capacity as far as time and finances and whatever it's going to take? And it's usually more than just meeting one night a week with a bunch of people, especially with young adults. I mean, I'm meeting with young adults every day of the week because that's just what happens. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how does that pull away from your marriage? And we really have to look at those things. And even when we started the second ministry group, that was the Lord asking us to do that. But I kept going, Lord,
Where
are we going to fit this new thing in? And because it's so near and dear to our hearts and something that we've been walking through, and the Lord has just really walked with us through it, we knew that it was something that we had to do. God has provided. God doesn't provide right away. And we just have to wait on Him before we start the next thing.
That's a great healthy marriage habit to keep in mind, that don't even allow ministry to pull you away from your marriage. And I think that's a tough one.
Hey guys, it's Kevin
and Caroline
Rogers.
As you probably know by now, we love our marriage and are so passionate about giving others the tools they need to truly have a joyful marriage.
It breaks our hearts to know the divorce rate, whether you are a Christian or not, is 50%.
Yikes.
We also know that nobody gets married and hopes to have a divorce.
Exactly. This is why we feel God has given us the motivation to equip as many couples as possible before walking down the aisle.
On our 20th wedding anniversary, we launched an online premarital course. We share our own experiences as well as what God's Word says about marriage.
In it, we go over 5 cornerstones of a healthy, God-honoring marriage and give you tangible tips on how to walk in it. You'll have over 5 hours of video teaching from us, along with downloadable resources to take into your marriage.
We have always loved our marriage and want you to love yours too. If you're getting married and would love to have some great tools to take into marriage, join us today for the course.
Hey, even if you know anyone who is getting married, be sure to share this info with them. Link to the course is in the show notes or on our website,
MarriedRogersNeighborhood.com. While you're busy planning your wedding,
don't forget to plan your marriage.
Join us and learn how to thrive and not just survive.
Now, like you said, you gave your life to the Lord when you were 5, but then rededicated your life to the Lord later in your 20s.
I always knew that God was a part of my life, even when I didn't really want Him as part of my life. And Dennis and I had been married maybe 6 years when I realized that I really wasn't committed to the Lord. Like he was the add-on to my life, not the part of my life. I had this dream that was so vivid that Jesus was in my house and it was here in Atascadero, not the house we're living in now, but he was walking through the hallway and he was opening up my linen cupboards. And I'm following him. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, and he's opening my cupboards and he's like, I'm just looking to see if I'm here.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
If there's any evidence of me. And I woke
up. Just like gave me chills right now.
I woke up from that dream and realized, oh, he's not. Mm-hmm. There is no evidence. He had been an add-on. He'd been an add-on to my life and Dennis's life. You know, we were like, yeah, we should go to church this Sunday. And our marriage was not great the first 7 years.
Okay.
I mean, it was really rough. And it wasn't because of him. It was because of me. I take all the blame for that. But it kind of shocked me, this dream, because it was so real. The Lord really used it to kind of shock. I knew, like, I needed to be back in church. I needed to change something. And I would say that that's when my life really changed. And that was probably early 30, that when Jesus said, wait, you're mine, and there's no evidence of me in your life. So what are you going to do about it? And that's when it really started to change. I think it was something we both knew needed to change. And that dream was just the turning point for me. I mean, it didn't like happen overnight. And I didn't say at that point, like, hey, I'm all in. I was just like, I don't want Jesus looking through my linen covers and not finding himself. There's no evidence. So I knew something needed to change.
Did you see then a direct reflection on your marriage after that? Did you see by prioritizing the Lord and kind of refocusing, did you see it affect your marriage?
I did. I don't know that I knew it at that point. It was affecting my marriage. I came into marriage with some really bad examples with my own mom and dad. My dad was a serial adulterer, and I didn't.
Bad habits.
It was a really bad habit. And I didn't know that that was even going on until I was a junior in high school when it finally exploded in my family. When I saw my dad as a broken man, as my mom had told him this time he had to leave, and I felt so hurt by that, I purposed in my mind to never let a man hurt me. And I didn't realize that even doing that set me up for trouble in my marriage. Because I didn't want to be hurt, and I knew that I could never be dependent on a man because they were going to hurt you. And so when I said that to myself as a junior in high school, it set me up. I lived it. I serial dated men. I was never alone. I always had a boyfriend, and I would go from one boyfriend to having a relationship with another boyfriend and then breaking up with this boyfriend. And so I went from boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend.
You were always in control.
I had to be in control. I couldn't let the boyfriend break up with me. When I saw that in my dad, and I realized that I was being hurt because I loved my dad. I did not realize that my dad was as dreadful as he was. I was blind to all of it. It set me up for a really bad marriage. And so when I entered marriage, not realizing that I'd even done all of that to my own self, I entered into marriage really not knowing how to be married, not knowing how to be faithful, not knowing how to be dependent on another man. And because obviously I wasn't following God. And so, and had no good mentorship for marriage, done this for year after year after year after year, that when I got married, I didn't realize that I could even stay married. I mean, I was committing at the altar, but I didn't realize that could be true.
I mean, and right now marriages are 50%.
Yeah.
There's a reason that I love to talk about marriage and encourage marriages, because marriages are hurting. I could see why getting hurt from seeing what your dad did would make you want to protect yourself, and especially not being super close to the Lord. You were trying to protect yourself. You didn't have God to protect you.
It wasn't that I didn't value marriage. I just didn't know how it was possible. I didn't, you know, my parents were married 19 years, and I thought, hey, 19 years is a really long time to get divorced. Like, how could you stay together for 19 years and then divorce? Like, you've been together a long time, you know? And I think that it just didn't seem possible to stay
faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had affairs of the heart. I did things that I shouldn't have done. Didn't feel like my husband was providing for me. I felt like taken advantage of. I was the breadwinner. I worked really hard. There were so many things in our first 7 years that I actually said, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my husband fight me. Like even when he knew the truth, he went, no, we are going to do this. And he fought for me. And then I thought, wow, that's kind of crazy.
You're like, that's a way different of a man than I was expecting. You were protecting yourself from a completely different man.
Yeah, I was. And I remember sitting with him on our porch swing and he's like, no, we're not giving up on this.
That is so cool.
And I think part of it was, so if you're not following the Lord, you're selfish. Mm-hmm. You're only thinking about yourself. And it's all about you because there is no other point but to serve yourself.
Yeah.
And really that's what I was doing. My heart wasn't attached to my husband. My heart wasn't attached to the Lord. When I met my husband's parents for the first time, they'd been married forever. I mean, they had just the sweetest marriage. And I met them. They came to the door when I walked to the door when I was just dating my husband, my boyfriend, I guess. And my father-in-law throws his arm around his wife and he holds her close and they're in the doorway. I'm still standing outside and he goes, I love this woman. I had never seen that before in my entire life. I had never seen my dad be affectionate for my mom in that way. In 19 years of marriage, they didn't fight. I never knew my parents to fight. I never thought they'd get divorced, but they never had a loving, just sweet relationship. And when I met Dennis's parents, I'm like, that's what I want. And I think that's part of what drew me to him to like marry him, because he had some stability where I really didn't. And I really didn't think that I could ever love a man in that way.
Well, what an example for him to have had growing up, to see how his dad loved his mom and then to fight for you is such a sweet thing. And it's just like, you know, what the Bible says, how a husband is supposed to lay down his life for his wife, you know, just like Christ did for the church. And even though you weren't really, you know, walking super close with God and it was a little more loosey-goosey, you know, God was still faithful within that. So you've talked a little bit about bad habits that were happening in the early years. Was there anything else you could think of in the early years that you would just ward people against?
One of the things that we did was I graduated from college and I got married the next year. And then we moved away from family and friends the next year. So it was pretty fast. There was a lack of mentorship for us when we were first starting out, and to not be surrounded or even have one other couple that had a good marriage that we hung out with was really hard. And we were in a new place, a new community, starting our business at the same time, being together all the time. And in some ways we were isolated. And even once we started going to church together, I mean, it really takes, and I've talked to other people about this too, it takes about 5 years to develop good friendships.
It
took us 5, 6, 7 years to really formulate deep friendship with other couples. And now I feel really blessed. We have 4 other couples that we have done a lot of life together consistently. Every month we do stuff, we go on vacations together and we do all kinds of stuff. Our kids kind of grew up in that. And I think that that has been so helpful for Dennis and I to be with other couples that have good marriages, because like you said, even in the church, there's a lot of couples that have very strained marriages. And, you know, maybe that I wouldn't want to spend time with, except maybe to mentor them now. But you know what I mean? That couples your age that you're doing life with, if they have really poor marriages, it's hard. It's not beneficial to you. I don't know. I would just say that the bad habit was not having other married couples, support, either younger or older than us, or the same age during that time. So
that's a good one.
Yeah.
I love that. Love that encouragement. All right. So then you guys move more towards God's heart. You kind of rededicate your lives to the Lord and start serving at church together. Is that when you kind of started serving?
Dennis and I have always been involved, but I would say probably about 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago, I did a study, Experiencing God, Blackaby's mm-hmm. study. And I'm a really, really slow learner and kind of, I had to do it like four times, maybe three times.
That's going to give somebody, a listener right now, some grace.
I did it three times. I know for sure, maybe four, but it was such a good discipline for me to go through that study and experience God and go, Lord, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I don't care. And I have to say, though, being all in is a very scary thing because it hasn't been rosy.
Yeah.
It's been hard. But all in meaning you take me where you want to take me. Mm. You do with me what you want to do with me.
It's an exciting life when you say yes to God.
It is for the biggest adventure ever.
Yeah.
There is no disappointment. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't even know that I can explain it, but the best adventure of my life. Mm-hmm. Since I've said, Lord, you do with me what you want. Being in ministry came in many different forms.
And did you always do a ministry thing together? Because you said right at the beginning, you were talking about the good habit of making sure your ministry doesn't pull you apart. Do you feel like there was a time that it did and then you made a choice to come back together?
Yeah. I was leading Bible studies with my girlfriends and because of homeschooling, you know, you're just very...
In different seasons are different too.
You're very detached. I mean, because I homeschooled my kids all the way through, it was, you know, there were years where it's like we're two ships passing in the night, mm-hmm. you know, we did crazy things to try to stay connected. I think as our kids got older, we realized, and I don't even know that there's like a certain point that we decided this, but I think we realized that if I'm off doing this with these girlfriends and ministry and Bible studies and doing these things, and Dennis is off doing this with all these guys, it's pulling us apart. Mm-hmm. It's hectic enough having a family and homeschooling a family mm-hmm. and having a business. And where is it that we have to say no to the good things?
That's a good word.
And it's the hard thing. That's the hard part because all of those are good. Anytime you're in ministry serving the Lord, it's all good.
And it sounds wrong to tell women's Bible study.
I can't do it. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think it was the year that I signed up for being a mentor mom, and I did it for half of the year or something. And I just went, what am I doing? I just can't do this.
Yeah.
And to have to bail halfway through is not me at all. But when I realize I'm being pulled, I have no time for my husband. I have no time for my family. So I think as our kids got older, middle schoolish, it was like, no, we have to do things. If we're going to choose ministry, they have to be things that don't take away from our marriage. Mm. And so we became community group leaders. We had families, you know, other couples in our homes, and did community groups for years of doing that. And then it was, you know, young adults.
And it's so cool too that that all of those kids are seeing an example of marriage, because you look at how you approached marriage by being hurt by your dad and seeing that type of marriage that your parents had. Mm-hmm. And you think about just the generational like curses that you're breaking by just being an example in their life. Yeah. And it's so cool. It's like whatever the enemy meant for evil, God can use it for good. And it just it's so cool. God is faithful. Now, what other marriage habits would you say you could maybe give as an encouragement?
You know, when you talk about marriage habits, I don't think that we ever sat down and went, oh, this is a habit that we want. You know?
Well, habits, it's not necessarily a popular way to look at it. But when I decided to start this series, or I felt like I was supposed to do this series, it just occurred to me how many little things, the habits we make and the habits we break, and how they make up our lives. Right. And there's good ones, there's bad ones. And sometimes we want habits to do really good right away. You want to start a habit and you want to go to the gym 2 times and you want to look great. And it doesn't always work. And the same thing with you eat really bad for a month, and but you don't want that habit to show up. You'd rather that habit to not show up. So both ways,
yeah,
you know, you can see that habits make a difference. And mm-hmm. so, and I really see that within our marriage. Just kind of, I've been going over what things for us have mm-hmm. been good habits, things that maybe were bad habits that we noticed were not so great and we changed, and seeing just God be faithful in those mm-hmm. things. And it's those daily little things that you do. And I just think those can make or break, yeah. make or break a marriage.
It's interesting. My husband and I don't talk to each other in the morning. We have a very, very quiet household in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he goes up to his office and I sit in the corner of the couch and I have to drink, honestly, I have to drink a whole cup of coffee before anything happens. And I study God's word mm-hmm. and he goes and studies God's word, and we both have a habit of our quiet time before the Lord. It's different today than it has always been. Part of being in ministry forces you, I guess, to be in God's word. Mm-hmm. And part of that is being prepared mm-hmm. for when all those young adults do come
and have questions. And they have what does God mean when he says this? Lord, help me.
So I feel like I have to be one step ahead.
Yes.
But the other part is that I need God's word. Just, I need to internalize it every day. And I know the days that I don't. My daughter said to me once when I was homeschooling her, she goes, "Mommy, did you do your Bible study this morning?" Because I did this when my kids were little too. I got up before they got up and I was in God's word. And I'm like, I didn't get to it today, honey. And she goes, "Well, I can tell because you're not very nice." And I remember that. I mean, even my kids knew when I was in God's word and the way that it changed my heart. I have anxiety and I have depression, and I know that I'm prone to that. And if I don't start my day out in God's word, and I'm a geek. Mm-hmm. I like to study. I can't just read it. I write it out. I study it. That's how I start my day. And my husband starts his day in the word. And we kind of nod to each other in the morning. We go off to our corners and have our coffee. And I think that that's how we can stay married mm-hmm. and do business together and work together and be in the same
priorities
space together.
That you're spending time. And that's something we're really intentional about as well. And we also really encourage reading God's word together and praying together, because we see how beneficial that has been for our marriage. That's mm-hmm. one of the habits that we've had. I always tell people, read it together, but also read it on your own yeah. and spend time with the Lord. Sit quiet. Sit quiet long enough that he can talk to you. Like you, if I don't get that time in the word, I know what happens. And as well, I've had seasons where when I was younger and we were traveling a lot more and it was a lot harder to do more regularly. But as I've gotten older, I've just seen the benefits of that, reach for my Bible a lot more often than my, you know, than my phone or than, yeah. you know, let me watch this fun movie,
right.
you know.
This is what I tell our girls in our young adult group, is that I know it's really hard right now, but if you just spend 15 minutes mm-hmm. in God's word, you will then want another 15 minutes. You will crave more mm-hmm. to know more of God's word.
Is there any other marriage habits that you can think of to encourage our listeners before we close?
I would say the other thing that Dennis and I have learned to be better at is compromising. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if I really just want my way, it's not good for me, for mm-hmm. one. And so I can't always be right. Mm-hmm. He can't always be right, but sometimes somebody's got to give in. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that's been a big thing in our marriage, that I can't hold on to everything that I want. So that's been something that is probably easier for us than some other people, because we're both so easygoing, mm-hmm. but we're also two creative people that mm-hmm. want our creative ideas, especially like when we work together. And so I think compromise comes out of respect for mm-hmm. each other, that I respect his ideas. Mm-hmm. I have to sometimes concede and let him do what he thinks is mm-hmm. best, even if I maybe don't think it's the best. Mm-hmm. But I have
That's
to
a good word.
But I have to be able to respect him mm-hmm. in that, not feel belittled or feel like I'm not getting my way and it's not fair. So,
well, and that's such an example of how God designed marriage to mirror image our relationship with him, because mm-hmm. that's what God calls us to do every day, is to lay down our cross and follow him. And it's when we do that in our marriages, mm-hmm. it is difficult. And yeah. there are times where you're like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And God's like, hey, yeah. think about this. But I think it's so sweet. And I agree with you, because I think it's, you know, that laying down of yourself, you mm-hmm. actually find joy in that when you do lay down your rights. You, mm-hmm. that is actually where you find the joy.
And I think that that is a very difficult concept today.
Yes. You know, in our culture.
With feminism or my way, you know, it's all about
you
me.
Do you.
Right. It's a very difficult concept, but it's an even more difficult concept if you're not doing that for mm-hmm. the Lord. In a worldly marriage, I could see where that would just be really, really hard. Mm-hmm. But because we have Christ in us, and we have that example mm-hmm. of how Christ is, and that it is a sacrificial living, mm-hmm. maybe comes more naturally, or mm-hmm. it's not natural, because we're all selfish people. But
it's a concept we understand because we've been taught in Scripture
yeah.
the benefit of it, and we've seen
right.
what that brings. And so I think even if it's hard in your marriage, you understand this concept. So if you're listening and you're a believer, you can kind of apply that same concept that you hear Scripture talking about for us to lay down our lives and follow Jesus, mm-hmm. that we have to lay down our wills in our marriage. And if you want a joyful marriage, that is actually how you gain it.
And I didn't get that at all when we started marriage. I mean, I did not understand that concept. And it wasn't that we would fight. I mean, Dennis and I have hardly fight, because we're both so easygoing. Yeah. But I still wanted my own way. And all I really cared about was my own self. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to learn that this marriage is a team. Mm-hmm. And I think that once I got that, or once I could understand that, I mean, mm-hmm. I think Dennis always thought we were a team and always knew how to be a team, but mm-hmm. I didn't get that. I didn't get that memo. It took me a lot. I'm a slow learner. It took me a while to figure that out.
But you know, if you're listening, just be encouraged by this. And so if you're listening and you're like, well, I've spent 20 years being selfish and I never give in to my husband, but I'm miserable. You know, if you're hearing this, and whether you're a believer or not, I would really just encourage you to try. And I'd encourage you to just ask for forgiveness from your spouse and to just take a posture of humility, because that is definitely something that it's not too late. It's not too late absolutely. To start a good habit in your marriage.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that compromising rolls into for Dennis and I is that we've never had what you might think of as blue roles and the pink roles.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
that's your job. Uh-huh. If it's, right. you know, if it's mowing the lawn and it's
taking out the trash,
yeah. those are the guy's jobs. It's fixing the toilet. Yeah. That's the guy's job. And it's the cleaning of the house and cooking the dinners is the woman's job. And unfortunately for my husband, he does a lot of the pink roles in our house. And I do the blue roles. You know, when the wall needed to be built in the backyard, that's what I was doing, you know, and my husband cooks. And when we had little kids, it was really, we shared those roles of changing diapers and being up in the middle of the night. And I think that that's part of that compromise. We've never had it like, well, no, I don't do that.
That's kind of the same concept we were talking about before, actually, before we started Press Record. We were discussing money and marriage, and we were discussing how it's so important to look at your money as your money together, because yeah. you're on the same page. You're both working towards the same goal. So I think that with the so-called blue and pink roles, We had a family friend's daughter when we had been married maybe 4 years, and we were moving into a house and we were doing laundry at my parents' because we hadn't gotten a washer and dryer yet. And this family friend's daughter was sitting there, and Kevin was doing he was bringing our laundry in and putting in the next load. And she looked at him and she said, "Kevin, boys don't do laundry." And he looked at her, he goes, "Yes, they do." And she was like, "What?" And, you know, Kevin helps and does the dishes, and sometimes we'll do them together, but sometimes he'll do it and he usually takes out the trash, but sometimes I do too. And, you know, we've always looked at it, and different seasons for us have been different. So depending on the jobs we're having, sometimes I've had a more demanding job, sometimes he's had a more demanding job. And when you look at it as everything in the house needs to get done, yeah, and we have strengths and weaknesses, and let's work together to do it, it's a much more peaceful existence.
You have to be, if you're not on the same team, then you're against each other.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I'll pick up where he can't, and he picks up where I can't. Mm-hmm. That's hard if you're in a marriage where your husband's not doing anything. And mm-hmm. I know, I mean, I acknowledge there's a lot of women out there that feel like, "I'm doing everything." Mm-hmm. And to that, I just say, I'm sorry, because that is hard. In a marriage, if it's not a team, you're mm-hmm. always going to be struggling against each other. You're going to be competitive.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's never too late to have a conversation with your spouse about that. So if you're listening to this going, "My spouse would never do that," mm-hmm. first, I would really encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to go before you discuss it with your spouse. Pray for a week, pray for 2 weeks, pray for a month before you go talk to them about it. And then talk to them about it and say, "Hey, is there a way we could work on these things together? It would really help me out." Yeah. And I think I'd rather approach life as a team versus, you know, this you or me thing. Thing is God's going to answer. If you want a healthy and happy marriage, if you want to implement healthy habits into your marriage, mm-hmm. that is something God is going to meet you in, because
God honors that.
That is praying God's will. Yeah. And so start praying for your marriage. Yeah. Start praying for healthy habits. Start praying for God to give light to things that are unhealthy, and that God would give you and your spouse discernment to see those things and then to start changing them, and the ability to continue those things day in and day out.
And I think you can make the difference as well. You could start taking things off of his plate that are heavy for him and saying, "I'm going to help in these areas," even if it's adding something to your burden, for him to see that you're willing to cross over some of those roles that are difficult for him. But I agree with you. You are praying God's will when you say, "I want to be a team," because that's what God wants. Mm-hmm. God wants you to be partners in this marriage, not just roommates.
And so that's a really good encouragement to just pursue being a team, take something off your husband's plate. Yeah. That's a great habit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to close. This has been such a great conversation. I feel like we could make a 10-hour podcast and just talk
Nobody
all day.
Wants to hear that.
No, we're not going to do that to you. I'm going to end with rapid fire questions. What is giving you life right now?
So much. I think the ministries that we serve in, it's weird because they're work, but that does give me life. It's a
energizer.
It is an energizer, and it forces me to be in the Word, which truly is what gives me life.
Yeah.
You know, being in God's Word and studying God's Word, and it equips me. Ministry and being in God's Word is really what gives me life.
I love it. Do you have a book or playlist or podcast recommendation?
I'm reading a fabulous book right now. Actually, I'm listening to it because I've been doing a lot of road trips.
Nothing wrong with that.
What If It's True by Charles Martin.
Okay.
Do you know that one?
I haven't heard about it. I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah. It's powerful, and it's about the life of Jesus. And I just feel like it's really equipping me for how to speak to people who are skeptics. And it's so much more than that, because it's blowing my mind. And I've been in the Word for years, and just the way he describes things, it's really blowing my mind. It's a real encouragement to me.
Awesome. And what is your life verse or verse that's speaking to you right now?
So that's a really interesting question, because I find that all of scripture does that. I will say that probably for the last 8 years, my life has felt like it is in a emergency mode. If I was to have to pick one verse right now, this is what I consider my 911 call. And it's Psalms 91:1. So it's easy for me to remember because it is
my 911.
91, Psalms 91:1. The verse is, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And actually, the whole chapter is really good because it goes, it's deeper than that. But I remember to turn to that because it is my 911 call. And I've needed that a lot. I need to remember that all I have to do is rest in the shadow of the Most High, that He wraps His arms around me when life feels like it's in crisis. And life has felt in crisis a lot. And yet I can have joy in that. I can point out all the miracles that He's done in the last 8 years. And I know that God is in every ounce of it, but it's not like when I said, I'm all in, Lord, let's go on vacation. It's like, I'm all in, you do with me what you want. And He's really done with me what He wants. And sometimes I go, what?
That sanctification is.
So Psalms 91:1.
I love it.
Is the 911 call that I turn to a lot.
That is awesome. Okay, well, this conversation has been awesome, and I'm so encouraged to have you on. Yay, I'm glad you had fun. Be sure to join us in 2 weeks to continue the Marriage Habits series. Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome. It's been great.
All right, friends, that's it for today. I'm so thankful you joined us and hope it spurs you on to encourage someone else. You can find and interact with me at Real Housewives of the Kingdom on both Instagram and Facebook and my website, marriedrogersneighborhood.com, which is linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would really appreciate if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you are listening. Just remember, we are in this together. God loves you, and you are not alone. See you next time.